and welcome to the UU CSV podcast. I'm Evan Yannick, and it was a beautiful December morning at church today. We heard a very interesting sermon focused on the first of the Unitarian Universalist seven principles, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Guest speaker, Reverend Robert Hughes, discusses the topic at length and then turns the sermon into a conversation with the congregation by encouraging questions and comments. In order to ensure that the questions are heard, I have amplified some portions of today's podcast. This was recorded on December 1st, 2019. I hope you enjoy.
Well, as Lee told you, my name's Bob Hughes, and I'm pleased and privileged and proud to be the guest speaker this morning. He also mentioned that I transitioned from another mainline denomination, the Lutheran, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, what it is now. I had become increasingly uncomfortable with portions of the theology, and when you're leading people in worship, you at least need to sound like you mean it. And I got increasingly uncomfortable with parts of it. Parts of it are great, but other parts, I couldn't do it anymore. And I went back to school and got a social work degree and was doing social work in Pennsylvania. And we had a chance then to visit the Unitarian Universalist Church of Pennsylvania, Lancaster. Kit Howell was the minister there. He often frequented the mountain here. Anybody encounter Kit by any chance? A really neat guy. And the first service we went to, people said, "We affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person." And I thought, wow. You know, that's really, do you know how different that is? Do you know what a treasure that is? You know, I grew up with sin and guilt, and maybe some of you did too. I see the nods. Some of you did too. And how, my goodness, what a difference that is to hear, "I have inherent worth." You have inherent worth and dignity just by showing up here. I came in, I don't remember that sign on the front there from last time about, "You're welcome here. You're welcome. Doesn't matter who you voted for." Now, that may be hard for some of us. Doesn't matter who you voted for, the color of your skin, or how much money you have, or how little money you have, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. Partly because we have inherent worth and dignity. It's built in. So I kept going. We kept going to the UU Church in Lancaster. And eventually, Judy, my wife, looked over at me one Sunday and said, "You could do that." And I said, "What? You could be a UU minister." "Oh, well." And so I talked to Kit, and it was a rather arduous transition, but I was then met the fellowship committee and started UU ministry after 25 years of Lutheran. So it's quite a journey, quite a journey. Did any of you grow up UU? Couple? Not many, yeah. So we've all been on some journeys. Even those who grew up UU were all on journeys. So they suggested when I asked about what topic I could share, that our first principle, inherent worth and dignity, would be a good one. And they're printed in your order of service here on the very front. No, it's on the inside cover. We affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Read that with me, or say it with me. We affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Of every person. Wow. Let's start with that word, inherent. I'd like to do something a little different this morning, if you don't mind. Open it as a possibility anyway. I usually speak for about 15, 20 minutes and then do a dialogue, but let's, if you think of something to say or a question or a comment you'd like to share as a go-along, wave or call it out or something, and we'll call it an interactive process, if you're comfortable with that. And you don't have to, but let's just, I'm open to that possibility if you'd like to do that. And so what comes to mind with the word inherent? Inherent. What comes to mind?
Natural.
Natural?
You
don't have to earn it?
Born with.
You're born with it. Yeah. Natural, inherent. You don't have to earn it. You're born with it. Anything else? Yeah. It's built in somehow. Inherent worth. Brené Brown says, there are no prerequisites to worthiness. Nothing you have to do ahead of time. You got it. You got it. Now, when does it start? When does your inherent worth start? Birth or conception or a previous life? What do you think? I don't know, but where does it come from? Where does inherent worth come from?
Just being a part of yourself.
Just being part of you. Inherent. Do you mean to tell me there's nothing I can do to earn a little more? Or there's nothing I can do that'll take some away? No. I do have blue eyes, yeah. I could hide those with contacts or something, but, you know, that's just the way it is. Just the way it is. I'm consider myself a Unitarian Universalist Taoist Christian. So I'm quite comfortable talking about God. So I would say that God builds that into the universe. If you'd rather use another metaphor, the transcending mystery and wonder of the universe. That's our first source, incidentally. Transcending mystery and wonder of the universe builds that in at some point, or it's just there, or it's inherent. You got it. Where do most of us look for our worth? Don't we look out? What kind of car do I drive? Or how much money do I have? Or how handsome am I? Or how much do I know? How many degrees do I have?
Yes.
You know, that's a number of years ago, there was this guy named Sam Walton who had Walton Five and Dime for years, and then incorporated 50 years ago, turned into Walmart. And Sam was a Presbyterian in Arkansas, Bentonville, Arkansas. Walmart did very well. And his original thought was, I'd like to have people in rural America have the same shopping advantage that people in cities do. When you're in a city, the stores there can buy in bulk and they can get a better price. So people in town paid less than people in rural America. And Sam's original idea was, let's even the playing field. Now, his successors have kind of lost track of that, I think. But Walmart did very well for a while. And then in the late 80s, there was a downturn. And somebody went to Mr. Sam and said, well, Sam, you're not worth as much today as you were yesterday. And he said, well, kind of in an inimical way, he said, well, still got my health. My wife still loves me. Kids still put up with me. So I think I'm worth as much as I've ever been. Now, the stock's down a little bit, but it'll be back. Well, I do worry a little bit about people who are going to cash in now and lose money. I'm sorry about that. I hope they don't do that. But that kind of attitude, his worth was not based on how much Walmart was worth. His worth was based on inherent. It's inside. To me, another word for the inherent is inner. You got it. You just got it. We're all conceived or born that way, and what happens? Do we grow up with a sense of inherent worth and dignity? What happens? What happens?
We forget it,
yeah. And sometimes I think it isn't affirmed. You think about going to school and getting bullied. You know? That just kind of beats you down after a while. Now the problem is the bully has forgotten his inherent or her inherent worth and dignity too. You know, works both ways. But we live in a world that's, well, Houston Smith used to say, the world is out of joint. It's the first of the Four Noble Principles. Dukkha is the way it's often translated. The world, there's something wrong. It's out of joint. It's like a joint that's slipped out. There's just something wrong. Our worth gets damaged. We don't have perfect parents. They didn't have perfect parents. We don't live in a perfect world. And somehow, our sense of inherent worth gets damaged. It's fragile. That's where somebody like Brene Brown, I think, can really be helpful to. We grow up, many of us, with a sense of shame. And that's her particular field. Our worth gets damaged. And the task then is how to restore that. And that's where I mostly want to think this morning with you. Not appreciating somebody's inherent worth, that's a part of the problem with bullying. the recent news about this soldier who posed over the body of a dead enemy, you know, now I can understand it, but it was wrong. You know, you don't treat people like that. I appreciate the Tao Te Ching a great deal. Reading 69 says, there's no greater misfortune than underestimating your enemy. Underestimating your enemy means thinking he is evil. Underestimating your enemy. Now, let me read just a little bit more. That last sentence. when you see that other person as evil, says you have lost your three treasures. The three treasures in here, but patience, compassion, and simplicity. You've lost your three treasures, and you become an enemy yourself. When you deny the inherent worth and dignity of another person, you've denied it in yourself. That's the problem with sexual abuse and many things. We're not appreciating or respecting the inherent worth and dignity of another person. So how do you go about being restored, or how do you help restore that in somebody else? I've heard several interviews of Tom Hanks just lately, who's in a movie about Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers. Has anybody seen the movie? Have you? What'd you think?
I thought it was wonderful.
Okay, good. It's on our bucket list to go see. We had to see Frozen 2 yesterday with our granddaughters. That wasn't a choice. Well, it was a choice, but... That was a remarkable movie too, actually. It wasn't a children's movie at all. We thought it was, but anyway. Fred Rogers was an ordained Presbyterian minister who never said the word God in any of his TV shows. Notice that? But what he did was to live out those values and help children, to speak to children in a respectful way. He took his time. Oh, it just drives you crazy as an adult to have somebody talk that slowly, you know. But children think slower. Children process. They need time to get ready to go. You know, they need time. And he was so respectful of children. He saw television as a way to, I would use the words to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of children. Nobody else is doing that. Not many. what most of us do is set up a win-lose kind of thing. And, you know, I sure wasn't the perfect parent either. I got into, you better do as I say, instead of trying to understand what was going on in the children. So, you don't have... That's a movie to consider. I'm real curious about it, so you can maybe recommend it. Yeah. Fred Rogers was trying to, in our words, affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. that's in sharp contrast to much of our current culture, isn't it? I'm going to give you some homework and. Before we close today, about the next year's. Next year's 2020 is going to be an election year. And I'll give you some homework about how are we going to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of people with whom we really disagree? Somebody mentioned that, and you did, I think, in your concern. But let's come back to that. One of my heroes is Rachel Naomi Remen, who's was a pediatrician and became a psychiatrist. And she told a story about this couple in New York City who were visiting and standing on the street corner, getting ready to cross the street, waiting for the light to change. And the wife noticed a building on the other side of the street and said, "Oh, Henry, look at that building over there, the second one from the end of the block. Isn't that lovely?" And Henry said, "You mean that monstrosity over there? You know, my land, who would build something like that? I never have understood your taste." He had a history of being kind of obnoxious with his wife. And she had just gradually been beaten down over the years. So she's feeling pretty, not much self-esteem left. Happened to be an older New Yorker standing there beside him and overheard that conversation. And she points her cane over, "Young lady, do you mean that second building there?" "Yeah." "Well, I certainly agree with you. It's a lovely building. It has its own uniqueness, but still blends in. I think, as I recall, that building has won some architectural awards for its design. I, young lady, I think you have some very good taste." And then she looked at the guy and said, "And you, sir, seem to be a pompous horse's butt." Now, with Rachel, the way Dr. Remen told that story, that wasn't exactly what she said, but, you know, being podcast here. she told the story about the woman, the wife, who had a history of being beaten down. Dr. Remen said that was kind of a turning point for her, that somebody had affirmed her and her opinion. Just based on her conversation, and let's run that story on out. What would that wife do when she got back home to Kansas or wherever she's from? What would be helpful as a next step? Join a UU congregation, and be affirmed in your inherent worth and dignity, and maybe she needs to do some work with Brene Brown about feeling some shame and guilt. Some kind of process to reclaim her own inherent worth and dignity. I have inherent worth. Now, I don't have any more than anybody else. I don't have any less. Well, inherent worth isn't something you measure. It's something that's built in. It's there. And what about the husband? What about him? Let's call him Henry. I don't know what his name was. What about Henry? He has some disconfirming information. Now, he got called on, you know what I'm tempted? Well, what about you? What's next for Henry?
Join a UU conference.
Join a UU conference. There you go. Well, he's not ready yet. Boy, I don't know about you, but my temptation is to just say, yeah, boy, you know, she told you, and you know, you are. Well, now how does that, I know it's tempting, but does that really affirm his inherent worth? No, it doesn't.
We need to love each other.
We need to love each other. So how could, what could, so how do you love somebody like that?
With difficulty.
With difficulty. Yeah, it ain't easy. It ain't easy.
With honesty.
Difficulty. Honesty isn't always easy, is it? What, Lee?
Compassion.
Suggest therapy. Yeah, well.
By maintaining your own boundaries.
What?
By maintaining your own boundaries. Loving someone else.
Maintaining your own boundaries. There are some people that you are going to disagree with. You still need to set limits with their behavior. That's going to be true next year in politics, isn't it? There are many things I don't agree with. And there's some things you just need to write your Congress people about and say, this don't get it. You know, we need to stop that. To set limits on dysfunctional behavior and still somehow affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And I'm not going to call names, but you know who I'm talking about. oh, it's so hard. So hard. Yeah.
My family and I don't agree on politics at all, and it took me a long time to come up with a sentence that affirms their worth and dignity without destroying my own. And the sentence is, now that's an opinion I've never thought of.
That's an opinion I've never thought of.
I have a question, and it may sound silly, but does somebody says an Adolf Hitler type or a serial killer, do they have inherent worth?
No.
Unfortunately, yeah.
They do, yeah. The challenge is they forgot. Yeah. They forgot it, and they don't act on it. And that's and so you have to put the boundaries up to say.
Or they were raised that way.
They were raised that way.
Or not raised that way.
However, you do have to set the boundaries. And that was, that's a whole other story, isn't it, about how many Christians there are in Germany and Lutherans and Catholics and just stood by and let that happen.
Went along with it.
Went along with it, yeah, sometimes. Now, there was people like Bonhoeffer who started the Confessing Church, the Resistance Church. They didn't all go along with it, but too many. So, and that's another question. How do you not go along with it? So, the way you vote is going to be one way. There are folks who are supporting immigrants at the border. How can we do that? How can we at least ameliorate some of the difficulties there? But yeah, it's our commitment that every person has inherent worth and dignity. It's gotten damaged, and some people have forgotten they have it. Some people have based their worth on how much power they have, how many people they can control, but that's not it. So, if you're a praying person, you can sure pray for those folks. I like your, how'd your sentence go? There's an opinion that I hadn't thought of before. This summer, I've been working a lot with Stephen Covey's 7 Habits. And habit number 5 is seek first to understand before you try to be understood. And that ain't easy, you know. What do most of us do? I'll let you finish talking, and then I'm gonna, I'll jump right in. A friend of mine said, You know, most people are just not convinced of something by losing an argument. Think about it. Most people are just not convinced when they lose the argument. And Covey's point was, see first, if you can understand that other person and say to them their perspective in ways that they know you've heard them and you understand. You don't have to agree with it, but to say, I understand, and maybe tell me more about your decision, about what's important to you. And his experience was that when people know they've been understood, they're more likely to be willing to understand you. So that's something to think about. How can I affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of somebody who's forgotten theirs? And that's going to be some of the homework for next year. How can you do that? It isn't easy. And you need to come back here every Sunday to get kind of refuel for that and revalidated yourself, revalidated yourself. Any other thoughts about, yeah?
I have found if you get to know an entire person, get to know them as a complete person, then their religious belief or their political belief is just one little piece of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have good friends who maybe voted for somebody I really don't like, but they're still good friends because I know more about them than that.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I've written some of those folks off, you know. I just how can you be a friend of mine when you voted that way? But that's wrong. That's just not right. It's not helpful.
I'm three issues back, but three issues ago in the New Yorker, there's a long article on Justice Kagan and how she always strives to work with her conservative justices to find anything that she can agree with on so that they can sometimes be persuaded to either limit their conservative point of view or find something in common with them. And in so doing, she has probably, according to this author, the most influence on those conservative justices on close votes because she really seeks for a win-win first. And then if it's still against her liberal values, she won't go along with it, but she has had some success, at least in limiting some of the 5-4 decisions in scope, if not in agreement.
Mm. Maybe we need to hold up more examples of that kind of approach. Yeah.
The sentence that has helped me the most recently is that everyone is struggling with something, and that's made me more compassionate toward every person.
Mm.
If every person you see or deal with is struggling with something, and I can think of practically everybody that I know is struggling with something, it can make you more compassionate, I think.
Mm. Everybody here, yeah. Everybody, who was it? Bishop Tutu, I think, said, or Thich Nhat Hanh, we never know what burdens other people are carrying. We never know. And somehow to understand that can increase our compassion. And at the same time, maintain the compassion for yourself so that you do set the appropriate boundaries. I would hope our couple back in New York, I would hope as a part of her growth process as she joins the UU Church, she would eventually say to Henry, you may not talk to me like that. You don't talk to me like that. I want to go get some help. Will you go with me? And the two of us can make some changes in our life. But you may not talk to me like that. Don't let anybody take your inherent worth and damage it. That just, you can say no. So in a way, that gets us to the third person, doesn't it? The older lady with the cane. You know, it's what I call a cycle breaker. She broke a cycle there. Henry just stood, she walked on across the street, and the couple, he didn't move for a little bit, the way Rachel Raymond tells the story. He had some thinking to do. Hopefully, he could start to think about, in what ways is that true? How, in what ways am I like that? And about affirming the inherent worth and dignity of every person calls for self-awareness on my part and some humility on my part. Okay, homework.
How does all this fit in with our idea that we are all one?
We're all one.
Because we started as nothing and we have all grown up. So we're all connected. And since that which created us is in us, that's where our inherent dignity is. It's God himself, herself, itself, whatever.
The Quakers say that the divine, there is a divine spark in each person. I appreciate that a great deal. And namaste, in some ways, is saying, I salute that of the divine in you. I salute that inherent worth in you. And it's you and me. I think in affirming the inherent worth and dignity is a way to recognize that oneness. That oneness. We're all in this together somehow. We are. Anybody else want to speak to that? How does it relate to oneness?
We have a lot more in common than we do have differences.
Yeah.
We have quite a bit more in common.
Yeah. When we stop to think about it, yeah. That was something that was helpful to me in my own recovery. John Kabat-Zinn is fond of saying, There's more right with you than is wrong with you in dealing with an illness. You got more right than there is wrong. There is sick. There's more. And that was very helpful to meditate on that, that there's more right with me than wrong, but than ill. Incidentally, I'm doing well. I've had my last several CT scans have been clear, and I'm happy about that, and makes me glad to be here. So the homework. We're living now in a very polarized situation, a polarized country. And the question is, what do our UU principles call us to be about in that kind of situation, in this polarization? So the first part is a kind of negative. The challenge for 2020 is avoid demonizing the other person or other party. So that's the thing to avoid. Don't demonize those whoever that other is, that, you know, or so, however you want to fill in the word. And the second part is a little harder. Another step you could take would be when somebody else demonizes those other, just to say, well, you know, I'm just not comfortable with that demon, with that description. Our religion, Unitarian Universalism, stresses the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And I want to honor that in everybody, to make that kind of statement. Now that's not necessarily going to be easy. You can blame it on Reverend Carter. You know, you can say, our minister stresses inherent worth and dignity. You can blame it on me, it doesn't matter. Our religion says that every person has inherent worth and dignity. And while I want to limit those behaviors, do what I can to limit those unacceptable behaviors, I do want to affirm and promote inherent worth and dignity. Say it with me. We affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, of every person. Well, that's your homework. And it's really a lifetime of work, isn't it? We'll be doing that as long as we have breath, I suspect. Well, I'll close for now. I appreciate the chance to be here, and I wish you well in your own journeys, your own life, and in affirming our inherent worth and dignity. Surely we will depart this place. You're welcome. I believe there's some refreshments. Actually, is that the case? Yeah, you're welcome to stay for that. And then we will depart. But as you go, know that you have been among friends and you can return to this place and renew that friendship and go in the Spirit of grace and peace, may your thoughts be cleansed by that which is true, and your heart be cleansed by that which is inspiring and beautiful, and may your deeds be enkindled and spirited by that which is good. So in the name of the truth, the good, and the beautiful, I wish you well.
Thanks again for listening. Next week, Reverend Michael Carter will be back in the pulpit where he'll discuss living in a beloved community. Have a great week.